companions. We help you discover your many layers. You peel, you cry, you wake up with fresh eyes. Question life, question humanity, question society, but most of all, question yourself.
My name is So, and I work at an organization called Social Innovation Exchange. And we are a global kind of exchange focused on the topic of social innovation.
And what are some of the projects? Can you give some examples?
Yeah, sure. So we are always like focusing on kind of the exchange between based on value and relationships. So for a kind of direction of social good or social impact. So a lot of our activities are around capacity building and also kind of bringing people together in a gathering or events and activities. Or we also do a lot of kind of research scan activities to kind of collect kind of different stories around the world. And at the moment, we have kind of 5 different areas of work. So we work a lot with philanthropy foundations who are interested in kind of really innovating their work or their practices. We also work with policymakers and governments who are interested in kind of setting up like ecosystem of social innovation in their city or in the national government. We work with civil society and intermediary organization and social innovation organizations who are trying to kind of expand this field. And we work with young people, like we work with on the topic of kind of the next generation leaders. How do we grow kind of the next generation leaders in this field? And the 5th area is we work also with on the topic of kind of businesses, like what is the role of business in the social impact world?
How did SIX start?
So we started maybe now like 11 years ago when I think the word social innovation wasn't a word that was used kind of widely. And I guess innovation was focused a lot on technology innovation or science innovation or innovation in medical science, but not much was talked about in terms of like, how do you innovate in solving social challenges? So there were lots of kind of disparate groups and people around the world who were already doing this work, but not calling it maybe social innovation. And 12 years ago, kind of our founder, who's Jeff Mulgan in Young Foundation, started connecting these kind of disparate groups around the world. Kind of we began as a small project, international project within Young Foundation, and we grew as a kind of a network and a community of practice in this field. And in 2017, we spun out of Young Foundation, which was our mothership, and became an independent organization.
Interesting. So I asked this because it's very interesting how SIX works with government, civil society, social organizations, young people, and you know, businesses as well. And it comes from a very holistic point of view, bringing together almost an entire ecosystem where all of the stakeholders are involved in that change-making space, which feels kind of like in the way that society and systems work this way, most people just specialize in one thing, and it almost feels like there aren't that many spaces for that overview and that large picture, which is actually really important if we want to talk about root problems or we want to talk about like really long-term progress. What are some of the projects that really brought all these different stakeholders together? What were some of the things that were done?
So in the beginning of SIX, like we started out with kind of an annual gathering. Our whole kind of existence was about kind of building a community of practice. So there was a kind of a flagship program called the Summer School, the SIX Summer School, which brought people from around the world together in one place. And kind of it was a chance for people to share their learnings, what they're doing in their own work. To share kind of like the behind the scenes stories of what happens or what you're experiencing when you're working on social change work. And that kind of continued. So I think we ran kind of 9 6 summer schools over the years in different locations around the world. And we always worked in partnership with that partner in the local setting. So our kind of mission was to go to different cities and places around the world to build that relationship with people through this kind of program called Six Summer School in the beginning. And then I guess in 2000, I think we stopped in 2017, this flagship program, because we kind of developed kind of other ways of kind of doing this work as well. So we developed in 2017 this program called the Unusual Suspect Festival, which is much more kind of a distributed way of doing a festival, much more distributed way of organizing an event. And like Six's role is much more of a curator of different activities people are organizing within a city. So it's kind of a chance for people to kind of use their creativity to run their own sessions in different spaces around the world, around the city. That was Unusual Suspect Festival. And then we also had, we developed a program called The Wayfinder, which was looking at the future of social innovation. And that was more place-based, and it kind of replaced the Six Summer School we used to have before.
And was it helpful to connect people locally? What were some of the feedback?
So the Unusual Suspects Festival was all about kind of creating different kind of unlikely relationships within a city. So the more distributed it became, it meant that we don't own the themes or the topics that we want. We don't own that space. Like, we let other people run and do lots of events on the ground. So that was kind of a really, I guess, like eye-opening moment for us, because it wasn't about kind of recognizing or it wasn't about us building a community that's closed or kind of our network. It was more about kind of letting others kind of be kind of relationship builders themselves as well, and recognizing our role as an exchange and as a node within the system, rather than kind of trying to be kind of this network that collects members into it. And letting everybody into this thing, but it's much more loose kind of a network, I would say.
So it's like kind of going into a space, somewhat hacking it, providing that platform for different organizations, different people, different stakeholders to just come together and convene, and then letting it just grow organically and leaving it.
Yeah. So our role is a lot of times kind of a spark in the system. Mm-hmm. By bringing different groups of people together, so unlikely suspects, unusual suspects together, and also by kind of creating different kinds of, using different methods to bring people together so that they can have a different kind of conversation that they never had before. So there's this unlikely method element to it, and an unlikely kind of people combination in our work, I would say.
Interesting. I want to find out more about the Wayfinding project. I mean, well, I'm doing the artist composer residency, but also like there is the entire first part of the project that I wasn't yet involved in. Can you kind of share more about what it was?
Sure. So the Wayfinder project began in 2017 when we were at a point in time where we needed to look back of all the kind of achievements we've done over the last 10 years, but also look at the future. So it was a lot of kind of soul searching and reflection of the last 10 years and what we've actually achieved in this field, and also looking at like where are we heading next. And we did this with a global group of peers in London. And in 2017, we started to kind of set that direction. And 2018, we did another event in Turkey, in Istanbul, Turkey, looking at more of a regional ecosystem in the MENA region. And then this year, we were supposed to go to Canada. We were supposed to have a wayfinding event in Canada too, and the topic was going to be about transitions and how, as a society, as an individual, as an organization, we transition into the next society and to be more sustainable, to be kind of, and to bring the world of social innovation and sustainability together. But in the beginning of the year, COVID happened and we couldn't do that anymore. We couldn't travel to a kind of a physical location this year. And we really had to kind of rethink what Wayfinder means for us and really kind of deconstruct it in some ways to look at what are the key elements of the Wayfinder that we can kind of replicate in a kind of virtual way, but over a longer period of time. So instead of having 2-day event, virtual event, online event, how can we create a kind of a 6-month journey of what you would experience in a physical Wayfinder in 2 days? So that was our thinking. And we were at that time, like in March, we were inspired by music. I don't know what happened, but like my colleague and I was talking about BBC proms and music, and then we just kind of got inspired by like what makes that kind of experience happen. So in a concert, you share the experience of listening to music together. At the end of when music ends, like there's like a short silence, and then everybody claps, and then there's this kind of a shared experience. And that's what it felt like during kind of March, of like kind of this shared experience. How are we going to kind of really ignite kind of collective imagination of people that we work with in a kind of a more metaphorical way without having them present with us in physical way? So the first kind of, we kind of devised a metaphorical symphony in 4 movements. And the first movement was about tuning. So it was all about kind of listening to lots of stories that were happening around the world. So we let go, where we weren't kind of organizing it. We just let other people say, like, what are you thinking? What's inspiring you at the moment? What's really concerning you at the moment? What social innovations are you seeing in your own location at the moment? And so people organized what we kind of call dine arounds in different locations around the world. And we, at first we thought like, oh, maybe we'll kind of, if we have 5 dine arounds, that will be enough, that like we'll get kind of insights from 5 different places. But then over 30 kind of locations like wanted to do a dine around, and our friends and colleagues around the world kind of hosted these kind of intimate kind of discussion between five to 10 people, and kind of collected that kind of insights from their own kind of place and then sent it to us. And then we synthesized kind of what kind of people were saying in different places around the world in the first movement. And also at 6, we hosted some of the dine arounds as well, and kind of started kind of, we also talked with a lot of kind of individuals around the similar type of questions that the dine arounds explored. And the second movement is called the ensembling movement. And so recognizing all the kind of information and insights that we collected in the tuning movement, second movement was around kind of connecting people through that topics or themes or new relationships that were emerging. So there was like more intentional curation of us kind of going in and trying to kind of bring people together. And we didn't want to do it in a kind of like the kind of a talking heads kind of way, where people just have an online talk and there's an audience and people listen. So we had kind of a closed ensembling sessions and open ensembling sessions. So the closed ones are much more intimate, it's much more about kind of building relationships. So relationship between 2 people or a group of people. And the open ensembles are kind of a more of a kind of 2 people talking or various people talking in the form of workshops, and it's much more open to the public. And the third movement is called playing. And this movement is kind of when we are starting, we've learned so much from the movement 1 and 2, and we're trying to digest the information and also create something new out of it by playing and experimenting. And we're working with 6 artist composers in this movement. to kind of co-create and collaborate with each other in terms of like what they heard and what they saw in the movement one and two, to translate that into their own kind of medium of practice, that were whatever that may be. It may be music, it may be poetry, it may be visual art, it may be different kind of movement practices, but we're letting kind of different medium to play out in this phase, so that we reach not only kind of the people that we work with already, but art has, we feel like art has much more kind of wider reach than our social innovation language and jargons. Maybe it could be very limiting. And then in the fourth movement, in December, we're kind of wrapping things up and also kind of having a moment of reflection and trying to kind of feel it in the last movement, trying to pull everything that we learned together throughout the three movements into kind of this moment of magic.
So I'm curious about your response to the responses that was given during the Wayfinding project process. How did you feel like from the part one to all the way where we are right now with the artist composer residency? What was it like for you?
I guess it's maybe part of the difference with any other Wayfinder is that, like, this year has been a very different year for many people, like all of us around the world. And so it's been very emotional. It's like, it's been a very emotional journey, and all the kind of a lot of conversations that we've had this year through the Wayfinder especially has been very personal. So there's kind of this blurring of like the personal space as well as the professional. So there's no boundaries. I mean, even when you're talking on Zoom, like you have your family behind you. And so that kind of personal space as well, but also like in terms of how people were feeling this year, like it's kind of a roller coaster of emotions. So like people seeing despair and kind of very hopelessness and kind of anger and fear, to kind of feeling of kind of happiness and kind of collective kind of unity in some different parts of the world were felt this year more than any other year that I've kind of done this work, I think.
You know, it's so interesting because the Wayfinder project actually started before COVID. It was planned before, and then it just kind of, it's so apt because we're all finding our way. And then COVID happened. We're all finding our ways even more, I guess, even more lost than before. And then because it was already planned before, there was that capacity to open up that space for people to just convene and to hear and listen to people. And I've just kind of been reflecting on that process as well, because I was also involved in a lot of online conferences or whatever, to try and, you know, talk about the climate crisis, the situation that we're in now, the pandemic, and then what is it that, you know, we can do, you know, what are our responses? And it just feels like we're always talking about the problems and the problems and the problems, and there's such good energy with people who are so involved, so engaged, yet that it didn't come about to any sort of action. You know, it just felt like we had that space and then that's it. You don't see people again. And then as I'm doing this artist composer residency over the past few weeks now, I'm really realizing and sensing that SIX as an organization, as collective, you hold the space really well. You know, there were those moments in the calls where we were responding and we were talking, and then it was just stillness and people don't really have anything to say, or they're still digesting. And you guys facilitated in a way where, you know, you just let that silence be. And it was so interesting and refreshing for me, because I'm so used to being busy, like, you know, I had to feel all these silence and these empty spaces. Yet having that space sort of almost made me realize, oh wait, I can just be still for a while, and I can just be present with people. And I think like that moment of that orchestra playing and that symphony, and then at the end where there is that pause and then the applause, I think what you're referring to is that sense of presencing. And it feels almost like in this journey where we are right now with the pandemic, with the chaos, we actually also need to be personal. It almost feels like we live in a system or a work structure where, you know, you have to be professional, you can't show your emotions, and things have to be a certain way. But we are all human beings, and actually having that space to be personal, having that space for emotions to flow, having that space to be heard and listened to is so essential in terms of our personal sense making, wayfinding, but also that personal journey also translates to a larger whole, where it's a systemic sort of journey where we are going to be the individuals in the system that will affect it. And it almost feels it is necessary to hold that space, and it is necessary to have that process of the journey before we can make sense of it and find the action that's going to come out of it.
Yeah, kind of like a phase zero. Before you start making change, how do you build those relationships, the safe spaces where people can actually be honest with each other and build that sense of trust before even having the real chat, right? Like what it matters. And I think that's been kind of at the heart of what we do a lot of times, because all our work is around kind of relationships and how you build that kind of exchange between people. And I think like 2 years ago, we did this work on values. So we tried to kind of try to summarize and try to kind of in our team, make it succinct what is our core values in the team and the way we work and as an organization. What does it mean to what is our core values? And we started having that discussion, and there were six values that we collected during that time. And one is around kind of this value of exchange. So everything that we do, it has to be an exchange. It can be kind of one directional. Always has something to give and something to receive. And it's about having that kind of honest kind of exchange and conversations to create kind of a bigger value. And then the second thing that we talked about was like, we really, really care about who is and isn't in the room. So kind of how do we, like, because like it's who's in the table at least. Like a lot of people sometimes get invited to the table, and that itself is like owning and having a voice and power. And so we really care about who makes the decisions, who benefits from innovations, or what we say in like social innovations, and like really caring about kind of different perspectives of like where people are coming from different contexts, because the expectations might be different as well. And then the third thing is around action. So we influence action, and not just kind of talking for the sake of talking, but how do you kind of create a space where organizations or individuals or different sectors kind of push, like think about and have that space to have a reflection about their own practice to change their mindset or behavior in the next kind of phase. So it's a kind of like a spark for action. And then the fourth one is around kind of pausing, kind of how do you pause in order to act effectively? So like there's a lot of kind of silence work as well. Like how do you take time to reflect on how you work, on the nature of your work, and asking difficult questions, and like just being patient as well, that this kind of work takes time takes time to build trust and respect to each other. So there's a lot of silence. So a lot of kind of our programs with foundations, for example, are kind of based on retreats. So you go on a kind of a, if you can't kind of have that space within your own kind of life and work, take that kind of taking you away from that space to really have a time to pause and reflect. And the sixth kind of value that we put in was kind of, we are not afraid to challenge. So whether it's kind of power dynamics within our society or within our institution, like how do we challenge each other as a team, but also how do you challenge people around us, like as colleagues, and like how do you also like challenge the field, this field, like if we are not doing the things that we are saying that we should do, like how do you change that? Like how do you challenge ourselves as well? So those six values were really important. And I think Wayfinder kind of encompasses all those six values. And in the beginning of the Wayfinder journey, we were talking a lot about like head, heart, and hands in terms of kind of how, like, how do you, because a lot of kind of social innovation kind of thinkers write about social innovation. There's a lot of papers out, but like there's a lot of kind of intellectual work in the headspace. And then there is kind of like there's something that triggers that through heart and kind of that brings people together into movements and kind of, and then that influences your hands, which is your action. So like all three kind of combination has to work. And how do we make sure we remember that, even though we're kind of organizing kind of, a small conversation between two people or five people, how do we not lose sight of those three combinations?
It's really nice to hear all of these from you, because this is brilliant. You know, I really like what you said about exchange to create a bigger value. And I feel like a lot of times in the way that relationships are, especially in professional terms, it can become quite transactional, where it almost feels like a power play between conversations. You know, what am I getting out of this in order for me to do it? But what you're really talking about is relationships and how to build that relationship between people, how to also constantly challenge things, how to not just engage with the head, but also the heart and the hands. And that is so important. And it's almost, it's a philosophy that I wish more and more companies, organizations will adopt as well, because that's so important in terms of relationships. I have one question that I ask to everyone on the podcast, also because we're kind of running out of time. If there is one thing that one person can do to create change in this world, what would it be?
Wow, I wish I had like prepared for that. One thing that one person can do. I guess like to think that you're not alone, that like you are not going to do that work by yourself and no one can. And so it has to always involve other people, like in relationship with other people. And so always kind of trying to kind of create that kind of mutual value-driven relationship with other people to do your whatever kind of mission that you're trying to achieve, I think is an important kind of aspect, I would say.
You know, so when you said that, something moved within me. I think also because I've been doing a lot of work sort of on my own independently, because I didn't have the connections or necessarily the support, and I had to just do it because I believe that I have to do it. I believe there is value in what I'm doing, and I believe that someone needs to try and understand this, and that journey took time. But I also felt so alone at times because everyone is so busy, and the people I connected with, it just feels they're not quite at the right time or the right place or the right people to be on this journey with me. And now, I don't know, somehow in a very strange way, COVID also maybe pushed me to connect with more people in a way that I probably wouldn't have had if things were moved online. And it's just really nice to have that reminder from you as well again, that, you know, you are not alone and that people are doing this together with you. And I think like in many parts, this Wayfinder residency is also doing that. It's also connecting people and people who are feeling, you know, I'm not just talking about like thinking in a sense of a very logical, rational way that, you know, there is a climate crisis, but really deep down feeling what it means to be in a moment like now, and also reflecting on me growing up in a city where it's pretty much a concrete jungle with artificial greens around, and then connecting with people who grew up in nature and they have such sensitivity and response and that sensitivity towards the energy that's in the world, and realizing how in tune they are with the natural world and how in tune they are with nature, with animals, with plants, and then learning from them and actually being present in a different way. That was so beautiful. And I also just want to thank you for that, for also the same, for organizing something like this, because, you know, as much as we are in that space doing something together in a closed space, eventually that will hopefully open up a larger space through the work that we will produce to open up to other people. And I hope that these conversations that we're having, be it through the podcast or the work that we're doing, will allow people to feel more, to connect more, and to be there for each other and to support, because that's important in a time like now.
Yeah, I feel like you're already doing that work. Like a lot of, you brought together the 3A practitioners who are kind of in a similar kind of line of work in terms of like building movements and kind of working with in a very different context, but you brought us together and had a kind of organize a conversation. And so I feel like you're very sexy in that sense, in terms of like bringing very different kind of people from different contexts and different sectors, and like finding commonality and like really kind of interesting differences as well during that conversation that we had. So I feel like we have a lot in common.
Yeah, in a bit of context, so that conversation had Internet H Media, IM, and also ITEC, which is International Teaching Arts Conference, and N6. And because everyone was dealing with sort of networks and kind of conferences, hackathons-ish, but, you know, all working with large groups of people and communities, and everyone still, you know, me included, searching for ways of financial independence for such projects to continue, because there is value in bringing people together. But we also live in a society that's very much based on, you know, what is the impact that comes out of it? What are the metrics? And it almost feels like that phase that needs to happen to bring people together before the action can happen almost is often overlooked. And how can we create easier ways to support this building of connections, of creating that space together? So that was a bit of context. I think that was useful. I'm trying to find out my position and where I can come in as an artist. And I think as an artist, in a broader sense, it's not just about creating aesthetically pleasing stuff or films or art or visual arts, but the way that maybe my art process and journey allows me to connect things in maybe a slightly different way, and how I can bring that in and from a position of an artist who, I don't know, maybe hopefully I see things in a different way slightly, or am used to seeing things a different way because of design thinking processes or whatever it is that's in there, to kind of try and hack different systems and bring together unconventional, unusual sort of pairings and convening.
Yeah.
Thank you for your time and thank you for sharing. I think it's really nice just to have a reminder to be present.
Yeah, thanks, PA.
No problem.
Thank you for this opportunity as well.
No problem. Hello, Onions Talk listeners. Thank you so much for listening. If you liked what you heard, it would really help if you can leave a review on iTunes or like us on Facebook. Otherwise, subscribe and share it with people whom you think will enjoy this. Special thanks to Andrea for the music. Catch you next episode.